Good morning. The clock says we are now on the air. It's, as Joe used to say, it's good to see everybody so happy and joyful. He always noted that it's good to be here, to fellowship one with the other. We have a few announcements we'd like to make this morning. But just a comment about our worship today. You know, when we gather, we realize that we're here to worship God. And we're so thankful for Jesus Christ. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to listen to the message read. We're going to hear the message proclaimed. We're going to take a memorial service where we remember and we examine ourselves when we do so, so that when we take of the Lord's Supper, we do in a way acceptable to Him. And then as we close, we will ask that you give, and yet you give with abundance and with happiness. Now, with those things said, let's do the announcements that we have. Next Sunday is our Fellowship Sunday, in which we have a meal after the services. So please plan now to be here with food. Bring food. And then the Tuesday night ladies' Bible class is going to continue through the summer. The one on Wednesday morning at 9 is going to close for 2 months. But the one on Tuesday night is going to remain. Then I have an announcement that is not written. Russell and I talked about it, and he asked me not to announce it. But being the great friend I am, that just told me I had to. On May the 15th of this year, he and his family been here 19 years. Doesn't seem possible. He's already shaking his head and his finger at me. But anyway, we have been so blessed to have them. Now, let's pray. Father, as we begin our worship this morning, we want to thank you for Christ, for the example that he left, for the teachings that he gave. As we enter into this service, Lord, help us to put the thoughts of the world away and to really dedicate this hour to worshiping you. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Was the only Y chromosome in the building, and I gotta say, the alien thing was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. I'm gonna start giving you guys two measures for nothing, so. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. When you see my hand bounce, tap your toe inside your shoe. Not your whole foot, because then you'll get this noise, right? Just your toe inside your shoe. Let's give this a try. Remember, two measures for nothing. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Scripture reading today will be Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
I share your text. Good to see everyone here this morning, and good to be a Christian.
Amen.
You might not know this, but for quite some time, I get a text from Elsie on every Sunday that says, God bless you as you share his word today. And this morning she said, God bless you as you share his word today. I'll be there to make sure you don't mess up. That made me laugh. Did I already say, isn't it going to be a Christian? Yes, good. All right. I'm forgetting things quick. It's bad, right? Isn't it? There was a six-year-old girl and her four-year-old brother sitting in the pew, and services had started, and the little four-year-old boy was active and making sounds, and his sister leaned over to him and said, shh, you need to be quiet. And he looked at her and said, who's going to make me? And so she turned her head where her eyeball was right over the pew in the back, and she bumped him and said, and he looked over the pew to the back, and there were two big men standing up, and she said, those are the hushers. He turned around and straightened up. A teacher was teaching and asked the children in the class, why do we need to be quiet in services? And one little boy said, because people are sleeping. Why do we say some of the things we say about worship? Why do we do some of the things that we do? And why is it so important for us to make sure that we do the right things? Jesus, as he was with the woman at the well, made the statement that there's going to come a time where the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And throughout the Bible, we see the importance of worship, what we worship, how we worship. We know there's a pattern for worship. We know there's certain things that we need to do in worship. And there's also a spirit that we're to have as we approach worship. And we have verses that say, rend your heart and not your garments. It's easy to do things outwardly, but not be right inwardly when we worship. And when the Ten Commandments were given, we put God as the only God. And we are to not make graven images or to bow down and worship them. We are to worship Him, not the created things, but the Creator. And worship is important. And we're here this morning to worship together. We gather as Christians to worship. And there's private worship, and there's public worship. And as we look through the Bible, we see that one thing that's very important is we make sure that when we worship, we just don't go through the motions, that we don't get stuck stagnantly going through a routine, but that we put our heart and our mind and everything we have into it, because we are, each time we have opportunities to worship, we are worshiping God. And what's important for us to remember to make sure we don't just go through the motions. I have a dog that likes to play catch with a ball. There's one particular ball that she really likes, and I'll throw it and she'll go get it or bring it to me. And sometimes I'll pretend like I'm throwing it and I'll go through the motion of it, but I won't release the ball. And when I first did that, when she was a puppy, she'd be running around trying to find the ball. And then she got a little bit more maze bright. And sometimes if she doesn't see it, she'll stop and she'll look back and she'll start wagging that tail. She knows what's going on. So I'll have to throw the ball. She doesn't want me just to go through the motions. She wants to go get that ball. Our five-year-old granddaughter, Ava, she likes to pretend. She likes to pretend like she's going on a trip, and she'll get all the bags. She'll pretend that she's, and I'm singing in the background, you know, I'm taking off on a jet plane, and, you know, she doesn't really get it. But anyway, she's pretending. We go to a restaurant. For some reason now, she likes to pretend before the waitress comes that she's taking our order, and she'll pretend like she's writing it down, and she'll go over and she'll come back and she'll put things out. So we pretend to drink and we pretend to eat, and people in the restaurant are looking at us, you know, like, yeah, that's the family. Anyway, she likes to go through the motions. Do we want to go to Sunday lunch and just have Ava wait on us and pretend to eat the pretend food? No, we want the real waitress to come and we want some real food. God doesn't want us going through the motions. He doesn't want us pretending. He wants real, authentic, genuine worship. And what does that look like? What is that? In Psalm 95, we see that David doesn't have it in the, over the psalm that he wrote it, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, the Hebrew writer attributes it to David. And he's elevating, wants us to elevate our worship. How do you elevate your worship? Well, this morning we're going to look at three requirements, not options. I'm going to say some things this morning, you're going to think, oh, that's an option. No, it's not an option. It's a requirement to elevate our worship from Psalm 95. First of all, we are to worship with joy. Again, joy is not an option. It's a requirement as we come to worship God. He says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, and His hand are the depths, the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also, and the sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. He says, come. Four times, He's going to say, come, enter. And the first three times, in verse 1, in verse 2, and in verse 6, He's going to say, come, and He's also going to repeat that at the end. I'll explain that in a little bit. But He's going to use three different Hebrew words. Well, is it the same? Does it mean the same thing every time? No, He picks three different words for the word, our English word, come. In the Hebrew language, it means something a little bit different. And He's in, first of all, the first one, when He says come, it is the word halek. And it means to go, to walk, to journey, to travel. All of us got in our cars this morning and we came to worship here. We got some people from out of town that are here on vacation, and we have people from all the way out in Abilene that are here. You know, we have all come from different places and we've come to work. We got up this morning and we came to worship together. Together, we've come. And that's an important part of our worship, when we come. It says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. We're to come with joy. Sometimes we come and we're joyful, and sometimes we're grumpy. But when we come to worship with God's people, He wants us to come with this sense of joy. You have to prepare that. You have to think about that. You have to work on that, because sometimes you might not be joyful, but you can, even in the difficult times of life, you can let your troubles not define you. You can be joyful anyway. Habakkuk says, I looked out and I saw no fruit on the vines, fruit on the vines, and no sheep in the stalls. But I will praise the God of my salvation. Everything is black and dark and bleak and not good, but I'm going to praise God. I'm going to rejoice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I'm going to say it, rejoice. Were all of Paul's times good? Sometimes we make the decision to be joyful. And when you make a decision, I'm going to go into this setting, and I'm going to be joyful. It changes everything. Usually when I go to the dentist office, it's not the place I really want to go. I kind of have an attitude, right? I decided the other day when I went to the dentist, I was going to go in and be joyful. It changed everything. They were laughing at stuff. I mean, I walked in, they said, "How you doing today?" I said, "I'm hanging in like a loose tooth." We can choose to be joyful, to approach something with joy. As we're coming, we're supposed to, part of us coming together, we think about, if you think about Jesus and what he did for you, that gives us joy, doesn't it? You think about salvation. You can always think of things that can, joy is when we come to worship and we're a thermostat, not a thermometer. Happiness is a thermometer response. Joy is a thermostat response. We set the temperature. So this morning I got up, usually I listen to sermons or I listen to music. This morning was raining, so no phone, no headset. I just went back to the basics. Just when it rains, I just put a hat on and run. So I'm running in the rain, and so I decided, I was thinking about worship. I thought, I'll just sing. So I'm singing that song. Come let us sing with joy to the Lord, let us shout aloud to the right. I'm running in, and I'm watching garages to make sure there's nobody lurking. And then I started singing the song, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me." And I turned the corner, and there's a guy in his garage. And he knows me. And I said, "Hey." And he said, "Hey." And I said, "Singing in the rain." And I said, "He's probably thinking there's medication for that." But we can do things to change our mindset and our mind frame and our attitude. David is, can you picture David? Maybe with his ragtag crew? Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Extol him. He says, come and sing. Well, I'm not a singer. I hear people say sometimes, I don't come to worship for that. I come to worship for this. I come for communion. I don't come to sing. I come for the prayers and for the sermon. I don't come for that. Guess what? You got to come for it all. It's all important. It's all significant. And our attitude should be one of joy. And then he says in verse 2, come before his presence with thanksgiving. That word is kadam. And it means to meet or approach or come, to be in front of, to come and meet. As we approach God, how are we supposed to come as we approach God? As we come to services, and as we move into an opportunity to worship God with other Christians, how do we approach that? He says, with thanksgiving, counting your blessings, thinking about what God has done for you, with an attitude of gratitude, you come before him. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. We focus on God, how he's blessed us physically and spiritually. We're to, in all circumstances, give thanks. We are to be people who are grateful. And so we emphasize joy and thankfulness as we come around God's people. God doesn't want us to come and for the song leader and the preacher and the experience to cause us to be joyful and thankful. He wants us to come and we set the temperature. What happens when all of us come prepared with joy and with thankfulness? It's a whole different atmosphere, isn't it? It's a whole different experience. Would people in Hitchcock and Santa Fe be drawn to a people that come together with a sense of joy and thankfulness? Do you find that when you walk into the grocery store? Do you find that when you walk into lots of circumstances of out there in the world, but she should find that here. People who are grateful and joyful and thankful, regardless of what they're going through, regardless of what's happening, they are here to worship God. They are here to express to God their gratitude, their thankfulness. It's contagious. It's uplifting. And there's a focus about you and me when people are around us that we are centered on God. You know, children will learn many things that they are taught, but they learn many things that are caught. That's significant and it's spooky. Our 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds will catch your attitude, your spirit, whether you've got joy or not, whether you're thankful or not, whether you're on your phone looking at Facebook or not. They will catch your spirit. You can try to hide it, but they'll catch your spirit. And they're probably going to worship just like you later on. How do you elevate your worship? How do you get it higher? Your athletes talk about, I want to elevate my game. Well, guess what, church? We need to elevate our worship and come with the spirit of joy and thanksgiving and focus on God. And then he says, we need to worship with reverence. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. I know my place. I am a sheep. He is my shepherd. He is my master. I'm going to listen to his voice. I come before him to worship him. There's a difference between singing and coming with thanksgiving and coming with reverence. He says, oh, come. And it's a different word. If you want to be able to tell people you know a Hebrew word, the word here for worship is bo. That's pretty easy, right? Bo. It means to enter or gather in, to come in, to go in. As you enter and we worship God this morning, as we offer and as we sing and as we pray and we listen to God's word and we take communion and all those different aspects of worship that we are a part in, we have a sense of a heart that is bowed down. We pay homage to God. We kiss toward him. We have a sense of reverence. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about that we serve him with reverence and awe. That sometimes we become too flippant in our worship, too casual in our worship. We are worshiping the creator of this world. We are worshiping God. We are worshiping our master. And our hearts especially need to be bowed down, humble, respectful, reverent toward him. And there's different parts of the worship experience we have this morning where there's more of a somberness or a soberness to things. But our hearts and our spirits and our demeanor needs to have that sense of reverence. Everything we do is important. Every word I say is important. Every prayer that is prayed is important. Every action we take. And God wants to approach him with reverence, not an uptight thing. We need to make sure that we have the biblical understanding of what that means to be reverent. Jesus was reverent. Paul was reverent. Abel was reverent. Cain was not. And we need to look at the stories, and we need to look into Scripture, and we need to make sure that we have that right kind of spirit, because often it will be caught and not taught. What's Ava catching from Dee Dee? What's she catching from me? What's she catching from you? They're watching us. How do we worship God? It's more important to demonstrate than it is to say, shh, there's hushers. Reverence. There are people that didn't approach God with reverence. They didn't respect him. Saul didn't respect him. What about you and me? We are to worship with reverence. And finally, he says, we are to worship with submissiveness. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And when he says there, they shall not enter my rest, that's the fourth time he uses the word come. Bow is used again. They can't enter. They can't enter to be with God. And in the whole text, what he's saying is, today if you hear his voice, like Neil was teaching, I think his last Sunday, don't be dull of hearing. Exercise your senses. Pay attention. Be sensitive to God. And in this passage, he's saying, listen and obey. Be submissive to God. Put yourself under God. Respond to God in a submissive way as you worship him. Because if not, you're going to be like the people in the Old Testament who were in Exodus chapter 17. They come to a place to rest and there's no water. And they're thirsty. Now, I have a 5-year-old granddaughter that often will say, I'm thirsty. And just the inflection and the tone and everything, it's like dire circumstances, right? Thinking that that will make us respond. And so, you know, when she comes over the next time, there's going to be a bottle of water in the refrigerator with her name on it. And if she's thirsty, I'm going to say, you can go to the refrigerator, you can open that door, you can get that water, right? But when the children of Israel were whining, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. I mean, it got a little aggravating and irritating. And Moses, they come to Moses, and Moses goes to God and says, what do you want me to do? I mean, they're about to stone me. And Moses takes his staff and strikes the rock, and they get water. But what does verse 17, chapter 17, that last verse tell us? 17 verse 7 says, they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among his people or not? What? That was their question. Is the Lord among his people? Are you kidding me? He sent the plagues. He rescued them from Egypt. Pharaoh chases after them. Moses parts the Red Sea. They go across the sea. They celebrate. They sing praises. They're all excited. God's given them manna. God's given them a GPS system, cloud by day, fire by night. God's providing everything. They see his work, and their question is, because they're thirsty, is God among us or not? Would we ever do that? Would we ever go to the doctor and get bad news and say, where is God? Do people do that? Is God with us or not? God's with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Beautiful part about Hebrews 13. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. If God's far away, guess who moved? He He says, I need you, worshipers, to be submissive, to be willing to yield to my will. And what does that mean? Preacher, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means to me. Maybe it'll help you. It means we say yes to God. And if you're saying yes to God, you're being submissive to Him. And your worship will please Him. So when you walk in the doors, we're not worshiping all the ways we used to. We don't pass the trays. We don't pass the collection plate. Now there's a box in the back. And when you come in and you have an opportunity to put your money in, are you saying yes to God? You could be putting in money out of all the money you have, and it could mean really nothing. Or you could be like the widow who's putting in the mites. She said yes to God. That's what it means to be submissive. Say yes to God. Are you saying, am I saying yes to God when I put my money in? Am I saying yes? Or am I saying, not much sacrifice, that's what I've always put in, I'm going to keep on putting that in. Am I saying yes to God or am I saying no to God? And when the communion comes by, are you saying yes to God? Are you being careful to think about that you're taking it in a worthy manner, that you're in the right spiritual mindset to take the Lord's Supper? Are you commemorating? Are you remembering the sacrifice of Jesus? Are you saying yes to God? When we sing, are you singing? Specific command, sing. Are you singing to God? Are you saying yes to God or are you saying no to God? And when the sermon's going on, are you listening? Are you taking notes? Are you thinking about what's being said? Are you looking on Facebook? Are you thinking about what's for lunch? I don't know. But God knows. And you know. You want to elevate your worship, say yes. And when words are being spoken and things are being said, when something needs to be changed in you, respond to that. Move toward God. Say yes. And when prayers are prayed, are you on some other planet? Are you there with everybody else? Are you saying yes to God? That's the question. If you are, you're being submissive. It's simple, isn't it? Either I'm worshiping and saying yes to God, or I'm saying no and I'm not saying. And He's saying, look, your submissiveness to me and the things you do, you're not going to get in. They didn't get to enter the rest because God got them out of Egypt, but He didn't get Egypt out of them. And I'm afraid that sometimes God's gotten us out of the world, but He hadn't gotten the world out of us yet. We hadn't gotten the world out of us yet. We can't, you know, back to Neil's Bible class, if you didn't get to be here, listen to him. You can't be carnal. You can't be worldly. You got to be spiritual. Be submissive. That's enough for us to think about, isn't it? Are you saying yes to God? Jesus said, but an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth. Follow the pattern. Do the things that He wants us to do. But have that right spirit. And part of that spirit is what we talked about this morning. Submissiveness. Reverence. Joy. I don't know, back in the 80s, if you ever watched William Shatner's 911. You remember that? Back in the good old days? Well, in 1986, there was an event that happened. A couple years later, they had this as an episode. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that? Anybody remember that? Rescue 911, William Shatner? Yeah? Are y'all with me? Y'all still thinking about if you're saying yes or no? Okay. Come back. Okay. In Springdale, Arkansas, there was a defensive high school player who had great promise. His dad had played football, and he was following in his steps. He was 6'6", 257 pounds, and he was a defensive player that was an offense's nightmare. And they were playing this high school game. He had some problems with asthma. And in one play of the game, he went down and he didn't get up. His friend turned him over. His face was blue. The paramedics rushed in. You can watch this on YouTube if you want. They rush in. They begin to administer CPR. They shoot adrenaline in him. They try to get him back. And they can't do anything, so time has passed, and they decide to take him to the hospital. They get him to the hospital. Still, there's been no active heart rate. After about 25 minutes have gone by, he's already considered clinically dead. Nothing's happened. His mother leans over and whispers in his ear. His name is Mackenzie Phillips. Mackenzie? You can do this. I love you. And his heart came back. His beat came back. And no brain damage, no heart damage. He went on to play at the University of Arkansas, played football there. And the person that administered CPR on him all that time had done it so aggressively and consistently that he had caused a hernia. And I'm watching this episode and I'm thinking, they didn't go through the motions. These paramedics, these guys that came to his rescue, his life was saved because they didn't go through the motions. They put their heart and soul into it. What kind of worship is God looking for? He's looking for worshipers who put their heart and their soul. Don't just get stuck in the grind of going through the motions. Worship God, elevate your worship, and give Him your all. Amen. As we sing and as we pray and as we listen to God's Word and as we take communion and as we give, say yes with joy and reverence and submissiveness. Are you on the right road? You can get on the right road. Spiritually, are you on the right road? Do you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? If you need to take that step or some other step we can help you with this morning, please come as we stand and sing.
Each time you cry, who As we consider what we're doing here today, as Brother Russell has talked about, consider what was written by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which was delivered to me, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Then in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup." As we consider what we are here to do, Jesus Christ, when he established the Lord's Supper, asked us to remember him. And so as we partake in his supper, that we are reaching upward, giving honor to him, memory of his sacrifice. But at the same time, we're supposed to look inwardly and examine ourselves to see what that sacrifice is doing for us and how it has affected our lives. But then Paul also tells us that every time, as oft as we take it, we proclaim that death. And so we reach outward to everyone that is around us, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he has died on the cross for my sins. And I will remember him. And I will give him my homage. And thus we do this morning as we take this bread to remember his body, the Son of God, who hung on that cross. If you would bow with me in prayer as we give blessing for the bread. Oh God, our Father, we are so thankful to you for how much you have loved us, that you have loved us so much that you would send us your only Son. Father, we are so thankful that he was willing to submit to your will and to go to the cross of Calvary. Father, we want to remember. We want to remember his death because it was for us. We want to remember his sacrifice because it was to save us. Father, as we partake of this bread, be with us that we will look inwardly to ourselves and that we make the sacrifice of you giving us your Son and he dying on that cross, that we will become children of yours that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Father, help us to do so in a manner that brings glory and honor to your Son. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 9, we read at verse 11, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. It is of this blood that we take this fruit of the vine as representation. If you would pray with me once again. Oh God, our Father, we come to you again, asking your blessings upon this fruit of the vine. As we partake of it as a representation of the precious blood of your Son that was shed on the cross of Calvary, and that he himself took in behind the veil and offered a sacrifice for us all, having obtained eternal redemption. Father, help us to take our minds back to the cross, back to that sacrifice, so that we might recognize just what you have done for us, what your Son has offered for us. Help us, Father, that we might do so in a worthy manner. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Pew or chairs in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it outwards. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass it in. They'll be picked up right now. And if you would stand with me for this closing song, it's a doozy. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies, strong in the strength which God supplies.
Welcome everybody who came out this morning that worshiped with us this morning, both here in person and those joining us online. We also, as part of our weekly responsibilities, we always like to take a moment of pause as we give back to the works of the church here, and we appreciate your offerings. And as you know, the collection box is right outside the foyer doors on the, my left. So also we want to remind everyone that next Sunday is our Fellowship Sunday, and we really love this time of fellowship that we can have together. And I don't guess I need to instruct you on how that works. We all like to eat food and love to participate in that. As Fritz mentioned, our Tuesday night ladies Bible class will continue through the summer with that. So as we close out our online worship, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this day that we have been able to come together as one body and to worship you, to honor you, to remember the life that was given for us and the life that we have because of the life that was given. We pray that you will continue to be with us. We pray that we will be salt and light to those around us. We ask that you would continue to be with those in our number that are sick and hurting and suffering in different ways, and we ask for your comfort and healing for them. We pray you'll go with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.